اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته and welcome back. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Praise be to Allah alone. We praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can show him guidance. May the best peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Dear viewers everywhere, once again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A few days ago, Muslims just gave a farewell to the blessed month of Ramadan. And Allah the Almighty, the Most Generous, is rewarding us with another season full of virtues and righteousness. That is a season of Hajj. There are so many verses in the Quran that tackle the concept of Hajj and the pillar of pilgrimage. I picked one which is verse number 96 of the second chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. In it, Allah the Almighty says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. The verse means, verily, the very first house of worship was appointed for mankind is the one which is in Mecca. Mecca is one of the names of the blessed and holy city of Mecca. Allah the Almighty described the place and the city and the house with the following: Mubarakan, full of blessings and guidance for al-alamin, for mankind and jinn as well. Then Allah the Almighty says, there are clear signs and proofs, such as the place of the standing of Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, as he was constructing the Kaaba. There is a stone which has the carving of his footprint, which we call it Maqamu Ibrahim. And whosoever enters that house shall attain security. Even the Meccan pagans before Islam enjoy security and peace around the Haram. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And it is a duty upon mankind to perform pilgrimage to Allah's house, providing they can afford the means. مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Those who can afford the means, financial capability and a physical ability. This verse was revealed in response to the Jewish criticism to Muslims, since Allah commanded them to change the direction of the prayer from Jerusalem to the Kaaba in Mecca. They criticized them. So Allah the Almighty says, in fact, the very first house of worship was appointed for mankind was the one which was placed in Mecca, full of blessings and guidance for mankind and the jinn. Then Allah the Almighty confirmed the fact that this is a place which is full of security. Whosoever enters Mecca, whosoever is around the Kaaba, attains security and enjoys peace, comfort for their eyes, peace for their minds. Then he lays down the command that mankind must perform pilgrimage to Allah's house. Had Allah the Almighty did not mention مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, it would have burdened all of us. But Allah the Almighty is the most merciful. He said in the same chapter, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مُسْعَهَا. Allah does not lay any commands on any person beyond his or her capacity. Those who can afford the means must perform Hajj. And that's why we find in one of the athar, which is narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, one who can afford to perform pilgrimage and does not, so let him die as a Jew or as a Christian. One who have the means and who is physically fit, is capable to perform Hajj and he keeps postponing and postponing until he expires, then he says, let him die as a Jew or as a Christian, not as a Muslim. That's why it is concluded from the same verse, verse number 97 of Surah Al-Imran. I'm sorry, the two verses which I quoted in the Awwala Baytin, 96 and the following, which is 97, are of the third chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Imran. The verse is sealed by Allah the Almighty saying, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. So mankind are commanded to perform pilgrimage, and those who deny the mandate and the obligation of Hajj are considered as disbelievers. And Allah is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything from anyone. He is totally the ultimate independent, and every creature are his dependents. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Before we talk about the Hajj ceremonies and rites of pilgrimage and Umrah, it is very important to understand that both Hajj and Umrah are commanded in the Quran. Allah the Almighty in another verse says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Many of the scholars concluded from this verse that both pilgrimage and performing Umrah are obligatory, because Allah commanded them both in the same verse, and perform perfectly both pilgrimage and Umrah to Allah. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. There are so many beautiful virtues with regards to performing Hajj, besides just fulfilling one of the pillars of our religion, which is the fifth pillar. Since when Angel Gabriel, peace be upon him, came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he asked him, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. He said, Islam is to bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. That is the first pillar, and it is both verbal, to be uttered, and to be maintained by the heart, to believe in it by the heart. The second is to perform the five daily prayers. The third is to fast during the month of Ramadan. The fourth is to give alms or zakah if you have the means. And the fifth is to perform Hajj if you have the means. Once Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was performing Hajj, and by the way, he only performed one Hajj in his entire lifetime, a year before he expired, peace be upon him. And he was given the farewell speech. And he said, O people, O mankind, indeed, Allah has ordained Hajj, pilgrimage, upon you. So you must perform pilgrimage. So one of the audience said, O Messenger of Allah, he was preaching over 100,000 audience, approximately 130,000 audience. And somebody just popped up and said, O Messenger of Allah, أَفِي كُلِّ عَامٍ. Do we have to perform pilgrimage every single year? So the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not answer him. Instead, he turned around and he resumed his speech. Then once again, the same question interrupted him once again and said, O Messenger of Allah, do we have to perform it every year? And a third time he interrupted him. After that, the Prophet, peace be upon him, answered by saying, have I said yes, it would have been commanded on you and mandatory upon you to perform pilgrimage on every single year. And if this is the case, that most of you will not be able to do it, and you will be destroyed then. Leave me alone as long as I did not mention that it is mandatory every year. From that we understand that pilgrimage is only mandatory, and it is one of the pillars of our religion. Not like the prayers or fasting or the zakah once every year. No. Or the prayers five times a day. It is once per lifetime. If you perform it, you perform the fifth pillar of the deen. And that's it. But who doesn't like to go on every single year to perform Hajj? Especially when you know that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said in the sound hadith, which is collected by both Al-Bukhari or Muslim, may Allah be pleased with them, and narrated by the great companion Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, performing Umrah after another Umrah is an expiation for whatever sins which were committed in between. Allah is the greatest. This is so beautiful. That you perform Umrah, the next year you perform another Umrah, the time which lies in between the two Umrahs, the two umrahs will act as a washer and dryer. Will take care of your laundry. Will clean you up from your sins. Will wash off your sins from you. كَفَّارَةٌ لِمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Then, furthermore, he said, وَالْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورُ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. And Hajj, pilgrimage, which will be described as mabrur. We have to have a little stop with the term mabrur. Its reward is only paradise. Has no reward other than paradise. You perform an accepted hajj. The word mabrur literally means accepted. And I wonder, how can one figure out that his hajj or her hajj has been accepted? We understand that with regards to any act of worship, if we pray, for instance, we pray and by the end of the prayer, we beg Allah the Almighty to accept our prayers. We're not sure whether it has been accepted or not. Similarly, with fasting, with giving alms, giving in a charity, every act of worship. As a matter of fact, it was once mentioned by the great companion, Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said that, if I'm sure and certain that Allah has accepted from me only one frustration, I would like to die right now. He was asked, and why is that? Why only one prostration or sajda? He said, because I heard Allah the Almighty says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. It is only those who are pious and righteous ones whom Allah would accept from them. And that means, if Allah accepted from you a single act of worship, that you're entitled to be among the righteous ones, and you shall enter paradise. So the big question remains for us with regards to Hajj. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. Hajj, which will be accepted by Allah, its reward is nothing other than paradise. How would we know that our Hajj has been accepted? There are a couple of things. Number one, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, in his only and last Hajj, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take your Hajj ceremonies and rites directly from me, not from the yellow pages, not from the notepads, not from books which are authored by this or that. Take it directly from the Prophet, peace be upon him. The most honest, the companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, transmitted to us every single footstep that Prophet Muhammad have taken during the journey of Hajj. Whatever he did, and whatever he abstained from doing. Every details. So why do we abandon all of that, then try to look for an opinion of a scholar or a sheikh or whatever? He said, take your Hajj ceremonies from me directly. And we have the entire Hajj procedures narrated by the companion and transmitted to us exactly how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, got to perform Hajj. So number one is performing Hajj exactly as Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did, as was transmitted by his companions to us. The second is the sacred journey, the lifetime journey, the biggest annual meeting worldwide, is meant to purify oneself. الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير ازداد التقوى. Such a beautiful verse. Hajj during certain months, that's Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and the first 10 of the month of Dhul Hijj. So whoever assumes performing Hajj should avoid rafath, indulging into sexual activities with his or her lawful spouse during the state of Ihram. Fusuq, any kind of sin. And then he specified out of the sins the argument. And unfortunately, this is very widespread and it's so common. We find pilgrims argue at the airport, argue at the bus, argue at the hotel room, argue everywhere, and jeopardizing the security and the validity and the acceptance of their Hajj by this false argument. Let's take this phone call and we'll resume inshallah in a little bit. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, doctor.
JazakAllah khairan upon you too. Wa alaykum salam.
I am Hani from Cairo. I qualified from Ain Shams University English Department, Faculty of Arts, and read some works in English, Islamic English, and I want to contact with us. Can I take your mobile, please?
Absolutely. You can request my phone number from the control. They will be happy to provide you with it, inshallah. May Allah bless you.
Thank you
for calling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we really have to have a long pause with this segment of the hadith. Al-Hajj al-Mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. Hajj, which will be accepted by Allah, its only reward is paradise. Then this is a journey which we save for it our entire lifetime. And we compete and we draw lots in order to go for it. And we're willing to die just to go there and perform Hajj. Why? Because it's a means of expiation for all our previous sins. Once you perform Hajj, all your past sins will be erased and forgiven, with sincere repentance, obviously. And you will be a newborn, as we will mention in some sound hadith. And if one happens to die in this condition, his fate is directly to heaven. Once, while Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was performing Hajj, one of his companions was in a state of Ihram, dressed up in the uniform of Ihram. He fell off the back of his camel, and he died innocently. So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, wash his deceased and shroud him in his ihram and do not cover his head and face. Why? Because he is still in a state of ihram and he shall be resurrected on the day of judgment saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Here I come to you, O Allah, here I come to you. There is no partner to you. Imagine somebody will be resurrected on the day of judgment while everybody is frightened and scared. But he's full of peace and security. And he's chanting, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. What will be his fate? Such beautiful news. The only time when one really longs for death and does not care the least about the worldly life and its glitter or temptation is when you're praying in the haram and you see the funeral after funeral being introduced and the imam of the haram is leading the prayer and several million believers are following him, invoking Allah to have mercy on the Muslim who died. Only at that time they say, oh Allah, make me one of them. I don't really care about the rest of life. I only think of one thing. Imagine yourself being prayed for by millions of the believers at the most sacred and holy place on earth. So, rule number one, beforehand, this is a lifetime journey. People travel around for the packages. Oh, I'm going to perform Hajj with 5-star company. I'm going to stay in this hotel or in that hotel. I'm very close or in a short distance from the haram. This is all beautiful. But most importantly is to know how to perform Hajj. Unfortunately, many people inquire about the permissions and the excuses and the exemptions. Do I have to go to Mina? Or do I have to spend the 8th in Mina? Do I have to spend the night in Muzdalifah? Is there an expiation? Is there a ransom? Can I skip that? Can I skip that? Hey, we're not going to Niagara Falls. We're not going to Disneyland. You're going to perform Hajj. You're going to Allah's house. You're going to be Allah's guest and your host will be Allah by himself. And it is due upon the host to honor his guest. Exert every possible effort to gain forgiveness on that time. Avoid all possible sins, especially argument. No matter what happens, zip up your mouth. Seal up your mouth. Control your tongue. Not just during Hajj, but it is more worthy during Hajj. Furthermore, it was collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah have mercy on them, and narrated also by their great companion Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, من حج هذا البيت فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. الله أكبر. It is so amazing. My body is shivering. I cannot control my emotions. I want to go right now. Don't you? The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, whosoever performs Hajj and does not violate this sacred journey with rafath, We spoke about it earlier. Sexual relations. ولا فسوق. Nor ignorance, nor committing innocence, was not indulged into obscene language, false argument. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that he shall return home as the same day he or she were born. Once sun sets on the day of Arafah, you're only one day old. You're a newborn. What happened to my earlier sins? The past 6 years, gone, erased, especially with sincere repentance. It is very sad, brothers and sisters, to see some negligent Muslims on the day of Arafah, on the day on which there is no other day that Allah forgives more sins and more people than the day of Arafah. You find people smoking and others playing cards. What's going on? Don't you realize that this is the most sacred place? And don't you realize that the reward is beyond imagination? All your past sins have been forgiven, while the good and righteous deeds have been instated still. Let's take this phone call and we'll resume, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Mustafa, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Sheikh Muhammad, wallahi, one of our pleasure to speak to you and the channel of Rahma and see your face in our favorite channel.
May Allah bless you.
Hopefully it will be consistent, inshallah.
I hope so, inshallah. May Allah bless you. Do you have a question, Mustafa?
This is going to be consistent, inshallah.
We'll do our best, inshallah.
Allah musta'an, this is one of our the best news that we have listened today.
Jazakallah. Do you have a question?
I'm asking about the topic of today, the Hajj. My father has that before doing the Hajj. And I want to do the Hajj before, if I prefer to do the Hajj before I'm getting married, to do another Hajj for my father, or to...
You performed your own Hajj already?
Sorry?
You performed Hajj already once?
He didn't perform Hajj.
Have you?
Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't, okay. As we speak down the road, we'll explain that one, in order to be able to perform Hajj instead of somebody else, you have to perform Hajj on behalf of yourself first. We'll cover all of that in details, inshallah. Hopefully, inshallah, in the next few episodes, when I come back from my journey, we'll continue talking about pilgrimage and asking questions until the day of departure. Hopefully, this year, inshallah, all Muslims who are planning to perform Hajj will be allowed, and not to be scared from the swine flu and all of that. For a reason or another, people are so frightened, but guess what? Just a few days ago, the world has witnessed the biggest meeting, the biggest gathering ever. We're talking about 3 million people have performed Umrah, and not just for a few days, they were there for a whole month. And by the grace of Allah, they returned home safely. So I hope the authorities will realize that this is a safe and a secure place, and it is not that bad, and they would allow people to perform Hajj. May Allah make it easy for everybody. So Mustafa, inshallah, will get to answer your question whenever it is you. But initially, one should not perform Hajj, nor is he allowed to perform Hajj instead of somebody else, unless if you have performed Hajj on behalf of yourself first. That's stated in the Hadith, of course. من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسق راجع كيوم ولدته أمه. That will take us to a very important arena, which is all the sins and violations which the person have committed with regards to Allah's rights. Allah said, I will forgive them. He is all forgiven, the most merciful. He said, you came to visit my house, you came to beg me for forgiveness, you came repenting unto me, whether major or minor sins, gone with the wind, I'll forgive them all. Except, there is a very important thing, which is the human rights, the sins which involved a third party, your neighbors, your colleagues, your family members, you wronged some people, you've taken the property of some people, you stole, you committed theft, the property of some people, you abused some people, your employees, your employers, whatever, your family members. So that's why it is highly recommended, in order to have a clear record on the day of Arafah, after Allah will forgive you the sins which are regarding His rights, that prior to this journey, make sure that you visit your family members, all of them, uphold the ties of your kinship, visit your neighbors, your colleagues, your fellow Muslims in the masjid. I was very young when once an older person stood up in the masjid and said, "Brothers, please forgive me." I was wondering, what's going on? Why does he say so? Then he said, "I'm going to perform Hajj. I'm traveling next week." Then he started crying. So it clicked in my heart and mind. I realized that there has to be a very special thing with this journey. And indeed, you're going to gain forgiveness, except with regards to the sins which involve a third party. The human rights. Obviously, the human rights were established in Islam 1400 years before the existence of any human rights organization. So make sure you ask them to pardon you and to forgive you before you go and perform this journey. There is another good news and virtue. It's narrated in a hadith by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, and collected by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and others. In this hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, before I quote the hadith, I want to tell you one thing. We know that most of us, in order to perform pilgrimage, we keep up saving our entire lifetime. Pennies on pennies, pesters on pesters, pounds by pounds, dollars by dollars, in order to have a sum that will enable us to perform pilgrimage. Guess what? Whatever you spend in the journey will be paid back to you doubles and triples. This hadith has the good news. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد والذهب والفضة. What does it mean? The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, follow up on performing Hajj and Umrah. We established the first ruling that Hajj is mandatory only once per lifetime. But who would like to go every year if it's possible? If not, then at least the Umrah. Because following up on performing Hajj and Umrah whenever it is possible, and if one have the means, would overcome two things. Would nullify sins and overcome poverty. Similar to heating purifies metals such as gold, silver, and iron from germs and impurities. So, the performance of frequently Hajj and Umrah would act as al-kir, or frequent heating purifies iron, gold, and silver from germs. Will purify you from sins and will overcome poverty. Whatever you spend in Hajj will be paid back to you double and triples by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I really did not realize that we are running out of time. Time is zipping by very, very fast. But it is, you know, talking about Hajj and Umrah is very emotional. And I guess we can continue talking about it for the next 2 and 3 hours and we'll never get tired. But let me wrap it up quickly so that inshallah Azza Jal, hopefully after I return back from my journey, we'll resume talking about the Hajj rituals, the ceremonies of Hajj, and how to perform pilgrimage exactly as did Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, do. Since I said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. My most important advice is, before shopping for the package, before shopping for the hotel and the hotel room and the haram view and the street view and all of that, shop for the company. And attend classes and lessons. Learn how to perform Hajj. We hear wonders and there are so many myths and strange ideas from people who perform Hajj. To the point, I promise, there are people who spend money, a lot of money, and time and exert effort. And they go all the way and return back without performing Hajj. Some never entered to the valley of Arafah. They did not make it. They were busy with something else. They did not know that they are not in Arafah. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Al-Hajj Arafah. So they have not performed Hajj. Some were involved in big sins that really ruined and invalidated their Hajj. Hajj is mandatory on every person who can afford the means. In the last couple of minutes, we say the means are both bodily and financially. Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, once narrated that a lady came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and said, "O Messenger of Allah, my father is an older person. He cannot stand still on the back or sit still on the back of his mount. He cannot control himself. And now he has to perform Hajj. Is it possible that I can perform Hajj in his estate?" So the Prophet, peace be upon him, answered in the affirmative, saying, "Yes, you can." Knowing that this lady has already performed Hajj on behalf of herself and fulfilled the fifth Faridah for her own self. So if one is not capable physically, but he has the means, that means he has to appoint somebody and pay out of his pocket to that person in order to perform Hajj, providing that person has already performed his or her Hajj. The second is the financial capacity. Allah the Almighty says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So how much money do I have to possess in order to perform Hajj? Money that's enough for the journey, back and forth, and staying there. Don't beg, don't ask for loans, do not borrow money. Money that's enough to leave for your family members, money that is enough to leave for those who are under your guardianship as you're gone and until you turn back. I guess there is a phone call. Let's take it before the end of this episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to you.
Barakallahu feek. May Allah
give me the greatest pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you, brother Hajjaj. Where are you calling from?
I want to say, seriously, I went to Mecca and made Umrah.
No.
But I noticed that Muslims who are not Arab are more interested in Islam than us.
That's not new.
Muslims who are not Arab are more interested in Islam than us. And I hope God may forgive us.
Yes, that is true. It is just that you realize it recently, but it's a fact. Being dealing with non-Arab and non-Muslims who accept Islam recently, we found that they're more enthusiastic towards Islam and the performance of the rituals of the deen.
I hope you more successful.
Jazakallah khairan, Hajjaj. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling. Okay. So, the financial ability means that you have enough means, enough saving. That's extra. Somebody like the brother said that I want to get married and I want to perform Hajj. What shall I do first? That depends. If you think that you're young and marriage is imminent for you, then get married first. Then save up some money in order to perform Hajj for yourself, then for your father afterward, and Allah will enable you and Allah will help you since you're sincere in your intention. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Asduq illaha yasduq." Be true to Allah. To Allah, Allah will be true to you and will fulfill your dreams, will make them come true. What about people who borrow in order to perform Hajj? You don't have to. But there are certain people who have good jobs, decent income, meaning they know that I have a certain amount of money, and if I may borrow a few thousands, I'll be able to perform Hajj. Meanwhile, I'll be able to settle my debt in the next few months, and I have no problem with that. In this condition, it is permissible, but it is not mandatory. Bottom line, you don't have to borrow in order to perform Hajj. God is the most merciful. You don't have to put yourself in debt. Is there any other means of istita'a or ability? Yes, there is a very important one, which is relating to women. Women, in order to perform Hajj, you must have a male mahram. This is not my word. This is not the word of somebody who studied in Saudi Arabia or in the University of Al-Madina Al-Munawwara or somebody who is fanatic. No. Let me quote exactly what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said in the sound collections of both Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said, "A woman may not travel alone the travel distance of 3 days without her male mahram." It's very clear and obvious that you're not allowed to travel for whatever reason. But this is Hajj, and this is very important. I do also have a very interesting reference It's collected by, narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it's a sound hadith. Somebody came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. People were ready to sit out for Hajj, and he said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I have been appointed and deployed to such and such battle." He was deployed to jihad, to join the Muslims' army. And my wife set out to perform Hajj. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "No! Go and join your wife." So he exempted him from joining the battlefield, joining the army to the battlefield, and said, "Do not let your wife travel alone. Go and perform Hajj and pilgrimage with her." I give this as a gift to those who say, "Oh yeah, but if a woman is traveling in a safe or a secure company, it is permissible." Let me ask you a question. This woman was traveling to perform Hajj. In which company? This caravan was led by Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him. And in it there was Umar, Uthman, and Ali, and the great companions and their wives. Companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and their wives. Yet the Prophet, peace be upon him, says to the man, "Do not let your wife travel for Hajj alone." And she's only traveling from Medina to Mecca in this beautiful, safe company, while the whole peninsula had become a Muslim state. Now remains a very important question, which is, what if somebody had followed the recent or contemporary view of some of the contemporary scholars and said, "You know, I still will go to perform Hajj, and Allah is Ghafoor Rahim and is of forgiving." Yes, Hajj will be accepted if you fulfill it properly, but the woman has indulged into the sin of traveling alone without a male mahram. This is not a view of the fatwa committee. This is a view and the opinion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last but not the least, before we wrap it up, you gotta know that in order to have your Hajj accepted, it is very important to make sure that your spending is from lawful earning. Because in the sound hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, "Inna Allah ta'ala tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba." Verily, Allah the Almighty is good, and He only accepts that which is good. So if somebody is performing Hajj out of bribery, rishwa, he's receiving bribery day and night. He's an officer here, or a teacher there, or any charge for the customs, or whatever, and he's charging bribery, and he goes to perform Hajj. Invalid. Not accepted. Why? Because your spending is from unlawful earning. He takes the property of others, he commits theft, and you go to perform Hajj, there is no need for it. Allah indeed, He is good, and He only accepts that which is good. And when somebody says, "Here I come to you, oh Allah, here I come to you to perform Hajj and Umrah," if his spending was from a lawful earning, a caller from heaven will call upon him, will say, "And here we come to you as well, and pleasure be to you, and good news and glad tidings be to you." On the contrary, if his spending is from unlawful, from a reason or another, people who earn their earning from interest by depositing their money in unlawful banks or whatever, then in this condition, a caller from heaven will proclaim, "There is no labbaik to you." We're not coming to answer your supplication or invocation. In the same hadith, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, mentioned, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّ يَسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. I'll translate that after this phone call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hisham, assalamu alaikum, Hisham.
Alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
I hear you. If you can lower the volume in your TV,
yes, Dr. Muhammad.
Go ahead.
I am pleased to speak to you for the first time.
Likewise,
so,
Zakallah.
I would like to ask you about the meaning of this. Allah says in the Holy Quran what means, "And proclaim to mankind the Hajj. They will come to you on foot and on every limb."
No. Okay.
They will come comb every tape and stem. So, what is the meaning of Rijala? Is this bad?
Rijala means on foot, walking on their feet. So whether walking on their feet or riding on their mounts. And this is true. People come to perform Hajj now from every far and distant place, from the States, from Europe, from Russia, from China. Of course, obviously, they come by the means of airborne, flying. But in the past, they used to walk and they used to ride on the back of the camels. My grandmother told me that my grandfather performed Hajj on the back of his camel. So you can imagine, it was just 50 years ago. So now people fly, people sail on sailing boats, people drive by every possible mean of transportation. That is the meaning of يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا on foot. Jazakumullahu khairan, Hisham, for calling. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we're coming to the end of this episode. And if Allah the Almighty wills, we'll resume when I return back from the journey, talking about the merits of Hajj, the virtues of performing pilgrimage and Umrah, and the pillars of both Umrah and Hajj. Meaning, in brief, how to perform Hajj exactly in the same format that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has performed. It used to sadden me when I see people perform in Tawaf, and I take a glimpse in the notepad they're carrying that says, the invocation of the first round, the invocation of the second round, of the seventh round, and so on. And people are saying that with full dedication. There is no such thing. You need to do exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did, and you will find it very easy. What really disturbs people is reading in the yellow pages, instead of going back to the original sources, which is Al-Quran, wa Sunnah. Brothers and sisters, I leave you in peace. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم جزاكم الله خيرا.
والنعمة لك والملك